WRCT Pittsburgh.
Did you know that Lyme disease is the most prevalent tick-borne illness, with about 220,000 new cases occurring each year? Believe it or not, you can test negative for Lyme and still be infected. Many victims of Lyme report never seeing a bullseye rash, and it can be very difficult to diagnose because it mimics other illnesses, such as multiple sclerosis, ALS, and Alzheimer's. To learn more, go to www.LymeDiseaseAssociation.org.
You're listening to Aggregate Sound with DJ Next Page, WRCT Pittsburgh.
Why do we have repetitive dreams, and how can we deal with them? At their core, dreams are really messages suggesting changes in conscious attitude. They give us a hint. They say, you know, the way you think about things, the way you're dealing with things, I think you need to change that.
RCT, Pittsburgh.
Like a glove, I wanna be the only one, be the only one, be the only one.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
I'm Mando Richard, and this block of music features Peter Schickele. Peter Schickele is a composer and a bassoonist, a classical bassoonist, and a comedian. We're going to cover a lot of the different aspects of his work. What you heard to open up the block was Joan Baez singing Rejoice in the Sun, a song that Peter Schickele wrote for the Silent Running soundtrack. Do you remember that movie with Bruce Dern from back in 1972? Well, Peter Schickele did the soundtrack. That was one of the songs he put on there, Joan Baez singing Rejoice in the Sun. Coming up next, here's something from Peter Schickele's classical side. This is from a chamber work he composed called A Year in the Catskills, and it's the fifth movement finale entitled Fast Driving, as performed for you by the Blair Woodwind Quintet.
Thank you.
Shickley's Fast Driving from his A Year in the Catskills, performed by the Blair Woodwind Quintet. You can hear that even in his serious works, some humor sneaks in. And that is certainly true in this next piece. This is something he wrote called The Last Tango in Bayreuth. And it is here performed for you by the Bassoon Brothers and Carlton Jackson.
Thank you.
That was Peter Schickley's Last Tango in Bayreuth, performed there by the Bassoon Brothers and Carlton Jackson from their 1999 record Wanted, the Bassoon Brothers. Okay, it's time to get on to the comic material that Peter Schickley is famous for. When he was a student at Juilliard, he started a series of concerts about an alleged son of J.S. Bach, P.D.Q. Bach. And even after he graduated from Juilliard, he was invited back year after year to do another concert of these parody pieces. So finally, it became, I think, his primary business. We're going to sample some of the music that Peter Schickley wrote for his P.D.Q. Bach extravaganzas. First up, here's the OK Corral from the Toot Suite for Calliope Four Hands. P.D.Q. Bach, the OK Corral from the Toot Suite for Calliope Four Hands, with Peter Schickley and David Wee. P.D.Q. Bach also allegedly composed a variety of different vocal works. You're going to hear three selections. The first two are from The Art of the Ground Round. Please, Kind Sir and Jane, My Jane. And then the next one, the third one, will be an aria from Schickley's creation, Hansel and Gretel and Ted and Alice. Yes, a P.D.Q. Bach opera, an aria called There's Something About a Monk. Enjoy.
Please, kind sir, that portrait I see. If that's your daughter, present her to me. Look, her face could launch a thousand ships. Look, her face could launch a thousand ships,
Thousand ships. Very well, it can be arranged. If you please, sit you down. Make yourself at home while she's up dressing. She'll be down in a jiffy. She's up dressing. She'll be down in a jiffy. Jiffy.
Please, kind sir, that portrait I see. If that's your daughter, present her to me. Look, her face could launch a thousand ships. Look, her face could launch a thousand ships. Thousand ships. Very well, it can be arranged. If you please, sit you down.
Make yourself a present
while she needs.
Look up her dress, face going down into thousand ships. Look up her dress, face going down into thousand ships. Thousand ships. Very well, it can be arranged.
That portrait,
if you please, sit you down.
Your
make yourself at home while she needs.
Look up her
dress,
face
going down.
Launch a thousand gypsies.
Look up her dress.
They should launch a thousand gypsies. Thousand ships. Very well.
No.
Are you a lady?
Yes.
Have you a secret that you wish to hide?
Yes.
Oh, goody! There's something about a man with a secret ken. It gives me a nut to crack, and I feel young again. Again, 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 again.
My, what big feet you have.
All the better to walk to you with, my dear.
My, what big knees you have.
All the better to pray for you with, my dear.
My, what big...
Well, now you just watch yourself, kid.
Oh, what big hands you have.
All the better to touch you with, my dear.
I hope you enjoyed those three vocal selections from the P.D.Q. Bach catalog. The first two were from the alleged P.D.Q. Bach work, The Art of the Ground Round, Please Kind Sir, and Jane My Jane. And the last was an aria, There's Something About a Monk, from the P.D.Q. Bach opera, Hansel and Gretel and Ted and Alice. Yes, Peter Schickele has quite the fertile mind. In this comic persona as the creator of P.D.Q. Bach, Schickele claimed to be Professor Peter Schickele from the University of Southern North Dakota at Hoople. And one of the grandest creations from the 1960s was an LP in which he did a whole series of radio works, allegedly on WOOF, Hoople, North Dakota. This next offering is perhaps Peter Schickele's grand opus under P.Q. Bach. After you've heard this, you'll never listen to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony the same way ever again. We'll let Peter Schickele himself introduce it. Thanks for tuning in to WRCT Pittsburgh.
And now it's time for New Horizons in Music Appreciation. Different approaches to the problem of popularizing the 19th century classics. Now, unlike the Baroque masterworks, 19th century pieces such as the Beethoven symphonies are usually so long and melodramatic that the average listener has to be informed through the use of program notes as to what's going on in order to prevent him from falling into a confused slumber. The only trouble is that they always turn the lights down in concert halls, so you can't read the notes while the piece is being played. So, here is a new solution to a perennial problem.
Good evening, music fans. Here we are at Philharmonic Hall in New York Mills, Minnesota. It's a beautiful night for a concert. There's not a cloud in the ceiling. And there's quite a crowd out here. About how many do you think there are, Bob?
Oh, I don't know, Pete.
Well, neither do I, but it's quite a crowd. And I think they're looking forward to hearing the New York Mills Philharmonic playing against the Danish conductor, Heilige Dankesang. And here he comes now, ascending the podium. And the players are all lined up and ready to begin the first inning of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor. And they're off with a four-note theme. This is very exciting. The beginning of a symphony is always very exciting, folks. I don't know whether it's slow or fast yet because it keeps stopping. It doesn't seem to be able to get off the ground yet. And it looks like, yes, it looks like we're coming up to a cadence here, folks. The violins didn't cut off there. A little trouble with the violins. They weren't watching. And there's that four-note theme again, folks. And another stop. Just can't seem to get this piece off the ground. Now it seems to be rolling a little bit. Seems to be building up. Tell me, Bob, do you think you'd call that four-note idea a theme or a motif?
Well, Pete, the technical term would be motif, which he uses to build a theme.
I see. Thanks for setting me straight about that, Bob. Well, we're heading into the second theme section here, and we can expect a little modulation down there.
Wow, did you hear that, Bob? Somebody down there in the horn section really flubbed that note. That was one of the worst fumbles I think I've ever witnessed in all my days. I think it was number one, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, it was, Pete. That was Bobby Corno in the first chair, and that's the third major flub he's made this season, giving him a solo average for the season of approximately .247355, which is pretty darn low for a first chair man.
You think there's some chance he might be sold to another orchestra?
Well, it's hard to say, Pete. Corno's very good in the long solos, things like the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto. So I think if he pulls himself together a bit, they'll probably keep him around, although I suppose he might...
Well, I think it's development time down there now, Bob. Let's see what's going to happen. The horns are starting it off. They seem to be in pretty good shape now, and I get the feeling that we're probably going to be hearing a lot of that four-note motif, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
So do I, Bob. Well, they obviously are stuck with that four-note motif, and they're going to be fooling around with it for quite a while. You notice it's pretty hot in here, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
Yeah, I think the air conditioning has gone off, which is just one of the things... Wait a minute, there's something going on down there on the stage, folks. There's something happening down there. It's really building up tension. The crowd is getting very excited. The brasses have come in, and the timpani, and everybody, and it's extremely exciting. I think we're building up to a fugue. No, the basses are not picking up the theme, folks. It is not a fugue. The violins tried to make it one, but the basses are not following up. No, instead of a fugue, folks, he seems to be taking the theme and breaking it up into little pieces. Just two notes left of that theme now being thrown around from player to player. And it's getting softer and softer down there, folks. I think they're losing steam. They seem to be running out of steam. And it's just getting a little bit lethargic down there, if you want to know the truth. It's gotten down to one note now. And things are... Wait a minute! The brasses have come in and tried to pep things up. A welcome relief. But I'm afraid to no avail. Things are still pretty soporific. Wait a minute. Here they come again. They're really determined. It sounds very familiar. And I think we've reached the recap, Bob, don't you?
There's no doubt about it, Pete. Your average Beethoven symphony usually has a recap right after the second quarter. And this one is falling right into line.
Well, let's see if those violins can cut off with the rest of the orchestra and the cadence is coming up. Wait a minute. This time it's the oboe holding the note too long. Wait, he's playing a cadenza. He must be out of his mind. He thinks it's an oboe concerto. The conductor's standing down there. He doesn't know what to do. Have you ever heard anything like that, Bob?
I certainly haven't, Pete. I think it was a disgraceful display of lack of teamsmanship. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Highwood's name wasn't on the roster next season, although I must say that the fans really seem to go for these outbursts of temperament.
Well, I always say, Bob, professional music teams wouldn't exist without the spectators. Anyway, we're into the home stretch here with the second theme coming up, and we should be in C minor right up to the double bar. Wait a minute. That's really something, Bob. The piece's build is being in C minor, and yet it looks like it's going to end in C major.
It's really something, Pete.
Well, I think it's something that the Composers Commission ought to look into, and I suspect that they will as soon as this gets out. But it looks like it's going to be an ending anyway. Things are building up a little there. The violins have really gotten a hold of things. They're really beginning to roll. And now he's adding all the woodwinds there. He's thrown in all his brass and the timpani. And it's tutti all the way, folks. He's got a great piece on his hands here. And he looks like he's really coming into the home stretch. Well, I guess that about wraps it up, hey, Bob?
Yeah, Pete, it's been a good piece.
I think he can really have something to be proud of himself here. Wait a minute! The brasses are taking the theme! They're not letting it stop! They're taking the theme and running ahead! Bob, this piece is definitely going to go into overtime. I can see that. The crowd is going wild. They're standing up on their feet. They're jumping. They're stomping. They're yelling. And let me tell you that down on that stage, the players are doing a bit of running around themselves. Nobody, but nobody knows where the theme is. The audience, nor the players, nobody knows where that theme is. Everybody is running around. And believe me, it's very exciting. This is the kind of thing that only happens once in 10 years, folks. They've got a new theme going on down there. I can't believe it. Bob, do you know where this new theme comes from?
Well, Pete, it probably comes from, no, I don't, Pete.
Well, they're tossing it around now. The woodwinds have it, and then the strings have it. Nobody seems to be able to keep his hands on that theme. It's getting tossed around from player to player, from section to section. And believe me, folks, the audience is just as confused as the players is about who is going to have that theme finally. Wait a minute, the strings have got a hold of it. The strings have got a hold of that theme, and they are not going to let go! What's this? I can't believe my ears. It sounds as if it's another recap. It sounds as if he's going right back to the beginning. If this is true, it's the first time it's happened in 10 years of concert casting. Wait a minute. Those sound like final chords, though. This may be... That may be folks. I'm looking down at the referee. Yes, yes, that is it. That is the end of the piece. The players are taking off their helmets, and the conductor has turned around and is acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Well, it was quite a symphony, wasn't it, Bob?
It was quite a symphony, Pete, and I think the fans feel that they got their money.
WRCT Pittsburgh. It's more fun when it doesn't make any sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Pittsburgh, this is Eric Harrison coming to you with a heart full of gratitude on WRCT Pittsburgh. Rock on, Yinzers.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
Real products are tested for safety. My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
Go for real.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
You are listening to 88.3 FM WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Got a fake ID when you were just 16. This guy
got 9 bullets in it, 9 bullets in my roommate's gun.
Well, unless you have completely checked out over the last 3 days, as I did, you certainly have heard by now that Donald Trump claims he will be arrested tomorrow. There has never been an arrest or indictment of a sitting or former president in the United States. If Trump is right, if he's telling the truth slash correctly informed, which is still a question mark, this will be one of the biggest news stories in decades in the United States and the world, quite frankly, as the globe waits to see, will Trump be even potentially held accountable for any of the myriad things that he did while he was president and in the lead up during the 2016 campaign? Where do we even start? Well, let's start with how this all started, with Donald Trump's outrageous all caps posts riddled with grammatical and spelling errors to his social media platform, Truth Social.
Truth Central.
Call it whatever the hell you want. Look at the news, and it is news, quite frankly, that Donald Trump predicted his arrest on that platform. Let's go right into it. And again, if you're listening, these messages are in all capital letters, which I think is just another one of these little details. Let's get right into it. Quote, "Our nation is now third world and dying. The American dream is dead. The radical left anarchists have stolen our presidential election and with it the heart of our country." I'm reading it as written. Trump writing Stalin, of course, a famous German Christmas bread riddled with nuts, spices, as well as candied or dried fruit. "The anarchists have stolen our presidential election and with it the heart of our country. American patriots are being arrested and held in captivity like animals, while criminals and leftist thugs are allowed to roam the streets." That's not true. "Killing and burning with no retribution." That's a lie. "Millions are flooding through our open borders," and the wrong borders, spelling borders like if you were a boarder at a boarding house, "many from prisons and mental institutions." That is also a lie. "The crime and inflation are destroying our very way of life. Now illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan District Attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime." Well, the violent crime rate is higher in Oklahoma City than it is in New York City. But why let the facts get in the way of a good all caps rant? Trump continuing, "and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that with no crime being able to be proven, and based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors' fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week." I know that that's an incoherent word salad, but Trump is saying they're going to arrest him tomorrow. protest, take our nation back, Trump demands, and then continuing the calls for protest, and what is increasingly, concerningly, going to be a violent protest, which we know Trump supporters are capable of. Remember January 6th, Trump posting more, quote, "It's time. We are a nation in steep decline, being led into World War III by a crooked politician who doesn't even know he's alive, but who is surrounded by evil and sinister people who, based on their actions on defunding the police," there has been no defunding, "destroying our military," the military is fine, "open borders," the borders are not open, "and no voter ID," well, voter ID depends on each state, "inflation," which is down, "raising taxes," Biden hasn't done that, "and much more, can only hate our now failing USA. We just can't allow this anymore. They're killing our nation as we sit back and watch. We must save America. Protest, protest, protest." And then finally, continuing this morning with these all caps tirades, quote, "The lead prosecutor for the corrupt Manhattan DA's office worked as a lawyer for crooked Hillary Clinton and her law firm, left this Democrat firm with others to volunteer to, quote, get Donald Trump at the DA's office for free. He quit in a huff when DA Bragg said there was no case here. He then unethically and illegally wrote and published